All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I got a question. Are you guys going to FanFest this year?
What?
Yeah.
Astros FanFest this Saturday.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
How's that turnout going to be?
Yeah, that's what I was curious about. So Jerome hits me up. He goes, hey, you want to do a man on the street? And I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. But I looked online. All of the tickets, I guess, that you need to...
Yeah.
Gone.
You know what? Here's the thing. I don't doubt that. I believe that of the two situations in Houston, people are more sympathetic to the Astros and definitely more passionate about wanting heads to roll with the Texans. And I believe that you can just see it on Twitter and all other... Astros Twitter, obviously, is one thing. But just across the board in Houston, they are still going to support and be sympathetic to the Astros.
Don't get it twisted, though. If the Texans held a fan fest today, they would... all their tickets would be sold out to. There are still enough people that are dumb enough to support this team with Bill O'Brien as their coach that their fan fest would be sold out as well.
I think they would have a good turnout.
Yeah.
I think they would.
No doubt in my mind. Because, again, when it comes to the Astros, I don't. It's quote, our team as fans. But I still like the Astros.
I do, too.
I mean, they're not. I'm not. If this was the Yankees, I'd be like, ugh, typical Yankees, always cheating. But it's the Astros, and you're like, meh.
Speaking of good turnouts.
That's my team. That's my guys. I love them.
You think that the Rockets would have a good turnout?
Yeah. I think there's so many loyal fans for the teams locally that it wouldn't matter.
Think they had a good turnout last night at 8:30?
Was it not? See, I ended up, I'm the only one that kept my word on the show.
I never gave you my word, sir.
Because I didn't know that I was able to do it.
You are a liar, Nicholas. You said you would watch it.
I said I wanted to watch it.
Joel said he couldn't.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have the mental capacity to sit still for 3 hours.
Not true.
I feel like that's what you said.
No.
You didn't say that? Because he had a newborn.
No.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Whatever.
One or the other,
a
right?
A newborn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What an excuse. But you said you would watch it, Joel. He said he would watch it.
Maybe
do you remember
I
that?
I thought I said I wanted to. Maybe I
want to say you were in on it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then you didn't.
No, I couldn't. Sorry.
Couldn't.
I drank.
Or didn't.
I wouldn't have been able to focus.
What?
I was drinking.
Yeah, you were. Well, some of the texts I got.
Did he send you a penis?
The spelling errors were ridiculous.
Did he send you a pic or what?
No, because evidently we were both watching the Rockets game, but we were watching other things around the Rockets game. But
don't you dare repeat what I said, Joel.
I won't.
Why am I not in on this?
I'll show you the text.
How come I wasn't included?
I don't know. I usually mass text you guys.
Yeah,
that's just for obvious reasons. But at the same time, it had nothing to do with the game. But at the same time, Nick and I were both watching the game, and I'm going, where is everybody? It's 8:30. It's national TV. Don't give me this. I couldn't get out of work or traffic sucked. Half the building was empty, and I'm going, come on, man. I know.
Pretty apathetic, though. I mean, there's a pretty apathetic fan base until it starts to count.
I mean, you got this whole... Everybody's pissed at the Texans for not doing anything. Everybody's pissed at the world for what's happening to the Astros. By the way, Van Gundy gets a lot of credit last night.
For?
Because he just voiced all of his opinions on everything that happened with the Astros.
Uh-huh.
And basically was just like, this is on the players. The players and the bench.
Amen.
And he goes, and he was adamant and he was pissed off that Luno and A.J. Hinch were taking the fall. And then even more kudos for him to throw in there at the end. And by the way, we can all be worried about stuff like this. The most important thing was there was another school shooting. It happened to be 3 miles from my daughter's high school in the middle of this city. And when is it going to stop? And I was like, wow. Jeff Van Gundy, for you to go on national TV yeah. and preach like that, props to you.
I've always been a big fan of his in the way that he handles things and what he does and how he is when he does those broadcasts. And I think he's really good at that. I like his honesty and I like his matter of factness. And I like where he's like, you know, he'll talk about, well, that's just stupid. Like you can't referee a game like that, or you can't play like that. I love his honesty mm-hmm. when he does those games. And sometimes you disagree with him and think, well, that was asinine or I don't agree with that, but I do appreciate that he's willing to say things that most people will be like, you know, I don't want to rock the boat, or maybe it's not PC to talk out a turn like that. Jeff don't care.
No, I have told you guys this in the past, and you guys as listeners as well, too. Jeff Van Gundy's smartest move ever was getting out of coaching. And Jeff Van Gundy, the broadcaster, is refreshing both on and off the air, no matter what he's doing, whether it's Lance and John in the morning show or what he's doing on the air. Because as a coach in an organization, his personality, his disposition, his work ethic was so intense that it rubbed everyone the wrong way, because he was hyper-focused and he kind of just lost a lot of the decency on a daily basis kind of factors. He factored those out because he was so intense on what he had to do as a basketball coach. Best move he ever made was to get into broadcasting, and his personality shows, and like you said, his honesty shows.
Yeah.
And he, much like John Gruden,
his common sense shows.
John Gruden should have never left the booth, though I know he probably had a desire to get back to coaching. Just like Jeff, I'm sure, has the itch to coach, and he coaches USA basketball with the younger guys, and that's great. But don't leave what you're doing, Jeff, because for your family's sake, for the people around you's sake, for our sake, keep doing what you're doing, because it's so good.
I love it. I really do love it. I think he's really good at his job. And I like the comparison of Gruden and him. Although I think Jeff he's got a lot more of the common man in him, if that makes sense. Where, you know, we're just watching it and we think about things like, well, that's stupid. This is stupid. This is dumb. And Jeff is saying those same things that we're all thinking, or that everyone can clearly see, but no one wants to say, because, you know, as the saying goes in sports, you protect the shield, you protect the logo.
Right.
But Jeff's out there saying it, and whether it's criticizing officials or criticizing the rules in the NBA or criticizing players.
Okay. As opposed to Gruden, it's just that guy.
Yeah.
That guy right there, that's a guy I don't know.
I do like it. So good for him for coming out and saying those things.
So that was great.
Yeah.
Crowd didn't show up, neither did the Rockets. So tons of stuff that I was interested in. Carmelo, who made like his first four shots, had a double-double, had 12 rebounds and like 18 points.
He went off.
I don't like the fact that
PJ Tucker looked bad.
PJ Tucker, I hope it's just the stinger. But I think the other thing is that PJ Tucker's getting pretty fed up with the fact he's playing 30-some minutes a game getting three shots.
Probably.
Three total shots is unacceptable for a guy that busts his ass for you on both ends of the floor. I don't care who your best player is. I don't care how many shots guys need. He needs to be greased some point, some way, with shots, because the dude's doing all the dirty work.
Yeah, I would
agree. How many shots do you want to give him, though?
More than three. Work the ball around. Don't dribble it for 19 seconds when you're only going to score 13 points.
Or do a better job of setting them up to the point where he can get more of those corner shots, you know?
Only guy that really showed up last night was Russ. But the problem is, and again, I even question what ESPN and the national partners of the league are doing. They put out the video where the Rockets are down 16, I think it is, in the fourth quarter, and Russ takes Dame to the basket and scores, gets fouled, and basically is just boisterously screaming, "You can't guard me," to which you look at the scoreboard and go, well, one, they're still down 14. Two, he missed the free throw. And three, then Damon Lillard retweeted it with an LOL after the game, and everybody's just jumping on and bashing Russ and going, it really doesn't matter if you don't win. And by the way, why are we worried about this kind of crap anyway? Like, Russ was the only guy that came to play, but even Russ shouldn't have been doing it in the fourth quarter. You know, down double digits in the fourth, and you can't guard me? Well, they can guard everybody else. Because they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, he needs to. I mean, that's always been Russ. I've always thought, and I think we said it when he was a Thunder, that his priority sometimes is not there because he's too busy complaining. You can make the argument for Chris Paul. Sometimes Chris Paul would stop and not get back on defense because he's complaining or talking trash to another player. You're right. He has to win. The Rockets have to win more than, especially a team like the Portland Trailblazers. Because I still do not believe in Carmelo Anthony. So, If Carmelo's on your team, you shouldn't be like worried or concerned, and you shouldn't let him get back at you because you know he really wanted that win.
And here's the other thing too. Excuse me, Barry, real quick though, because I got a lot of people tweeting me about a week or so ago when I said that they should kick the tires on Jamal Crawford or otherwise. Going, do you know what their offensive efficiency rating is? Do you know what their defensive efficiency rating is? You know what I know is they can't shoot. They shot less than 30% as a team last night, I believe. It was awful. They can't
from
shoot
three or
overall from the field.
No, they shot 40%, 39.6.
What'd they shoot from 3-point range?
32.7.
Okay. Well, 32 is not, no, because I heard Charlie took on the way in, well, saying as Charlie. A team, they shot like less than 30%. All I know is is that they're not their bench sucks. They need more shooters. They can't expect to win and win at the level that their owner and everybody else supposedly demands of them that they want when they're relying on their two best players. Russ is just, he's not a shooter.
Now you say their bench sucks.
It does.
Are you just talking about the depth? Because Eric Gordon outscored the entire Blazers.
Gordon
bench.
Finally found it last night. He came in right from the get-go with the
Portland bench had 20. So Gordon, and then you add in the other nine that
Austin Rivers isn't giving you what you need.
Austin Rivers.
House has just been, after a good year last year, House has just not been doing it. Yes, McLemore's gotten hot recently. I still don't think overall he's consistent enough, and I don't know what I'm going to expect from him in the playoffs. I just look at the overall bench, and I'm going, they need more. They need so much more, and it's starting to get to the point where it's not early in the year anymore. They got to start addressing
They're 1-3 in their last four. Yeah. I mean, they have, and the losses have been to teams that you look at and go, ugh. You and over your last four games, you beat the Wolves, but you've lost to the Thunder, the Grizzlies, and the Blazers. Yep. Those three teams that you just lost to, they're not the Suns. I mean, they're not that bad, but or the Warriors, you know, but. They're teams that this you should absolutely be beating.
Yep.
And now you're in danger of falling to the sixth seed. You're a half game up on the Mavs, and you're losing to teams like that? That's the part that worries me.
And the schedule's not getting easier.
Nope.
Okay, so you got the Lakers on Saturday night. You got a meeting after the game, whether it was the entire team or a lot of the team or some of the team, and everybody was voicing their feelings and trying to get to the core and the crux and the bottom of what's going wrong. I'm going to tell you something. I told Nick this in the pregame, in the pre-meeting. My feeling is, especially if they lose Saturday night, Mike D'Antoni is not long to coach this team.
We need to play his audio clip because I thought there was something very telling when we come back from the break. Okay. There was something very telling in his post-game press conference that he said that I think actually is going to make you look smart in that statement.
Okay.
And that he may not be long for this team.
Okay. There you go. Just getting started. Hey, you want to join the show? 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, as I'm trying to read Jeff Passan's statement and also talk live on radio. Hey, we're the Usual Suspects. Back with more. It's ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, just getting rolling on the show. Lots to get to, and before we go any further with anything else, we were talking about the Rockets, the debacle last night, the loss, the poor attendance, the fact that the team didn't show up, and then I came out and I said, look, I mean, based on having a team meeting after the game, I don't care who was involved, obviously Harden and the main players were involved. And the fact that they had the Lakers Saturday night, and like you said, they've lost three of their last four, I could really see Mike D'Antoni not being long for coaching this team.
Yeah, and I don't know how he's getting along with his players right now, but he in his post-game press conference, he talked about what's going on right now, and he talked about the team and where they're at. But there was something interesting that he references, and I listen for it, because basically he's going to tell you that right now everybody's being too selfish, and see if you can spot when he says that.
No, it's concerning, but what I'm saying, to me, the focus is not on getting it right. The focus is more looking at the back of the jersey instead of the front of it, and we just need to get over it, and we will. They'll get back, and again, every ship gets rocked sometimes. We are getting rocked right now. 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked, we were in a great place. Team-wise, and it's that delicate of a thing. You got to be careful. And right now we're shaky, but we have veterans that'll right the ship up. You know, like last night, they played really well. They beat us. We're not sharp. We ran into two teams that are hungrier than we were,
And until we get everything sharp, we got to have a little bit more energy, a little bit more focus on what we're doing and tighten things up and not play great but get wins. And we didn't do that the last two games. We will do that. It's not going, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a little rocky right now. It's not going anywhere. We'll be fine.
I appreciate his optimism. Now, that I do like. I like the way that he's kind of matter-of-fact about it, and he's optimistic, but he's not panicking, and he's not – he's saying, yeah, we're having issues. It's going to get fixed. And you've heard this from Mike D'Antoni before, and they did fix it last year, you know? He gave a similar speech at one point last year. But that whole back of the jersey and not the front thing, very telling about what's going on in that
locker
room.
Very telling about James Harden.
And Russ, too. Don't exclude Russ from being – the guy that this is all about him. I know he called the team meeting, and that's great. And by the way, I think I would have waited. I heard somebody say this when they were playing the Rockets, but it was Philly. Mm-hmm. When Philly had to play the Rockets and Philly called the team meeting before they played the Rockets, and people were like, maybe wait until you play like, you know, the Kings to call that team meeting. Because now Russ gets everybody together and calls the team meeting, and you got the Lakers next.
But I think that was telling about the fact that, one, Russ called the meeting, and what they said came out of it was everybody's got to play hard all the time. They got to play harder.
Now that's on James.
That's exactly right. That's because Russ is always going to give you 110, right? We know he can't shoot it, although he made a three last night right off the top, and he was your leading scorer, and he had a triple-double with 31 points. But overall, and I've told you guys this in the past, this is why it's all BS when James says stats don't matter. When James says we're going to work it out and we're willing to make concessions so that the team achieves more. No, and I guarantee if you slip to second in the league in scoring, we'd see a totally different James Harden worried about stats. And that's the biggest issue. You said, pointed out, and it was pretty blatantly obvious, that they're all worried about the name on the back of the jersey instead of the one on the front. The fact that Tillman didn't give Mike D'Antoni an extension when he deserved it for what he had done the previous 2 years was a clear indication that it was a prove-it-to-me-now, gotta-win-this-year situation. And since they're not, and since they've slipped out of the top four, and since you've got all these different things where they haven't completely worked it out the way they're playing, I just think, I'm sorry, but the scapegoat, just like we said, Romeo Crennel's probably the scapegoat with the Texans, if Bill O'Brien, especially if Bill O'Brien stays. To me, the outright here is D'Antoni.
Yeah, he's probably the scapegoat, but I'm with you. I do think this is on the two leaders of this team. It's, you know, they're the ones that kept talking about how they can make it work, and there's just no continuity. There's no flow. There's a play here and a play there, but you talked about dribbling it out for 19 seconds, and that's too long. And what happened to the 7 seconds and get a shot up and all those things? You don't see that anymore. And I realized D'Antoni talked last year about the fact that you've got the best one-on-one player in the NBA on your team. So you change your philosophy and you play to that strength and that advantage. But one, right now, James is shooting awful. Mm-hmm. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn right now. And he's not shooting well. So maybe say, hey, until you find your shot, let's have you spot up. Let's run some pick and roll with Russ and Capella. Or, you know, let's get the ball to PJ Tucker, who's still knocking down 38% of his corner threes. Let's focus on some of that stuff. But it goes back to D'Antoni in the back of the jersey, not the front. James isn't going to give up that control on the court.
And that needs to happen all the way through all five starters and some of the role players. They need to include everybody. It's not just James and Russ that needs to be
agreed.
More ball friendly and include their teammates. Joel, you were talking about PJ Tucker. He should get more looks. I mean, you can set that guy up and make some threes. He'll get you 10 points from three pointers alone if you really want him to. You just got to set him right. You got to set him up.
Did you hear what
right.
Barry just said? With the way he's shooting the basketball, he deserves more than three shots, and they should all be from three.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Especially what he does. You do kind of have to reward a player like PJ Tucker because of the effort he puts on defense. You kind of have to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if he has a decent three-point shot, why not?
There's no reason that Russell Westbrook should be shooting a three at all. If it's not James, it should be PJ or Eric Gordon. Those are the three guys right now that should be getting open looks for threes. It shouldn't be Russ. And, you know, and you can say what you want. But, again, this goes to the back of their jersey, not the front. I'm sorry, Russ. I know you want to prove you're a good three-point shooter. You're not. Stop shooting.
Stop, dude.
If someone backs off of you, take that space and go shoot a mid-range jumper or blow past them and get to the rim. But stop shooting threes.
Here's also why I tell you that D'Antoni's comments were directed towards James first and foremost and then everybody else. It's because this is James's mantra ever since I've worked with him. And that is when things go bad, especially when he goes bad, it's not on him. It's on the people around him to do more things so that he isn't as bad. Now, he's come to the coaching staff in the past, in the playoffs, and when he was in a slump when the Kardashian thing was going on and all these other things, and said, you got to call more plays for me. You got to, what help are you going to get me? Can we get me a few more guys? Can we do some things differently? Instead of looking internally, he's big on learning, looking externally. And he's got to stop, because everybody knows, and he wants all the accolades, and everybody should be giving him credit for all he's done in the last 5 years. But the fact of the matter is, we talked about superstars and good players and all these other things, but he wants to be one of the all-time greats. And in order to do that, you got to win as a team.
You got to elevate your team.
Yes, you have to win as a team. And he's not doing that
right now. Look at Jordan. I mean, Jordan, the all-time great, got his team involved.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
John Paxson.
I mean, he still trusted those guys, even though you knew who was going to take that final shot or who was going to do it. But he played defense. He got his teammates involved. He made Scottie Pippen a Hall of Famer.
Like, you guys are right, man.
You've got to be better with your team.
You guys are right on the whole. Even if it's just because PJ plays defense, you got to get the guys the shots, because otherwise they're going to disengage. No matter how much you want guys to be good teammates. At a certain point, if they're busting their ass and they're not getting any shots, and that's what basketball is about. That's what it's always been about for these guys. If they're not getting any shots, but they're busting their ass, at some point they're going to go, I'm done with this, man. What am I getting out of it? I got a contract to worry about,
too. Set a pick for you.
Yeah,
get open
yourself.
You're the man. You get open.
I'd like to see more of a seamless transition with Austin Rivers, too, when he gets checks into the game. Maybe you know, you work with Austin Rivers and say, look, man, this is how I play the game. We're going to start doing it this way. And then he kind of mimics, or, you know, if there's success with the way you're doing playing basketball and being a teammate, James Harden, talk to Austin Rivers and make it a seamless transition when he checks in. That's what I would do.
Couldn't agree more, Nick. And here's the other thing with Rivers. Remember that. Of the guys that said they had a problem last year with the fact that they were almost frozen out because of James and the offense, was Austin Rivers. He passed up, and I told you guys, I thought he could get 8 to 10 on the open market. He came back for 2.5 because he said, you know what? Yeah. This system fits me perfectly. I'll sign a 1 year. I'm going to make my money. And he's not getting a chance to even get the shots to make his money. No. So they got to do something differently, because it's slipping away. And look, the difference between them winning against the Mavs or someone in the first round and losing is home court.
Well, I'm going to say something on the other side that y'all might call me crazy.
Yeah, let's do this.
But this is a legit reality.
Okay.
All right.
I got to wait.
Yeah.
All right, first half hour of the show is gone. That means 2.5 still to go. Plenty more opportunities for you to be a part of the show. We'd love to have you as a suspect. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel. Thursday, big city. Barry has an open invitation for us to call him crazy.
Yes.
Proceed, sir.
So, right now, the Rockets sit at fifth in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. They are 6.5 games back of the Lakers. Ahead of them, the Clippers, they're 1.5 behind them. Nuggets and Jazz are 4.5 back of the Lakers, so they're 2 back of the Nuggets and Jazz.
Okay.
Right now, the Rockets are 0.5 game up on the Mavericks. They are 3.5 games up on the Oklahoma City Thunder. By the end of this month, the Rockets will be the 7th seed in the West.
I'm not going to call you crazy.
Call me crazy.
I'm not going to call you crazy.
Here's why. Let me read you the opponents that the Rockets have between now and January 31st, and then we'll talk about the other two schedules for the Mavs and the Thunder, who are right behind the Rockets. The Rockets still have to play this month in order. The Lakers, the Thunder, Denver. Those are all at home. Then they go on the road to Minnesota. Then they go to Denver. Then they go to Utah. Those are back-to-back, high altitude. They're probably going to lose both of those games. Then they go to Portland, and then they come home and play Dallas. Of all those games, there's like two winnable games for them. That's the Thunder and the Wolves. And don't count the Thunder as a dump. Mm-mm. Okay? So Los Angeles, probably losing that. The way they're playing right now, they probably lose to Denver at home. Then they probably lose to Denver and Utah on the road. And they could probably drop one in Portland and Dallas. I mean, this is... By the end, they could literally win two more games the rest of this month.
That's sad.
And if they did that, why are you crying?
I'm just so proud. I'm just so happy that Barry's, he's calling out the attention to detail.
Listen,
the fact that he said the altitude and the back-to-back, I love this.
But listen, and here's the Thunder's schedule between now and the end of the month. You ready? Miami? That's tough. Portland? Not
need wins, though.
Yeah, not out of the question. Then they play the Rockets. They have Orlando, Atlanta, Minnesota, Dallas, Sacramento, and Phoenix.
That ain't bad.
That's a pretty favorable schedule for the Thunder through the end of the month. Yeah. I could easily see them gaining three games
else,
on the Rockets.
Way better than the Rockets schedule, right?
Right? I mean, when you have Phoenix, Sacramento, and Atlanta, those are definitely winnable games. I could easily see them making up three games. And the Mavericks... Their schedule is a little more difficult, but this is a team that's capable of winning these games. They've got Portland, the Clippers and Portland, Utah, the Thunder, Phoenix, and Houston. That's a difficult schedule, but the difference is Dallas is playing way better basketball,
they
I think.
They are. The big thing you got to worry about, Porzingis was supposed to be back.
Yep.
He sat again the other night.
But who you got Portland and Dallas in those two games? Dallas, that's. I think those are both very winnable games for Dallas.
I honestly think Portland's going to catch them at least once, if not both of them, because Portland's desperate right now. And who'd have thought that Melo was going to give you what he's given you? He's averaging 16 a game. He gave you 18 and 12. I mean, he's filling a role that they desperately need right now. And if Porzingis doesn't play, that's a big factor.
Sure.
But Luka's obviously playing on another planet right now as well.
They beat the Thunder. They beat Phoenix. They probably beat Houston. If they split with Portland, that's four wins right there. Now the ones that they got to worry about is the Jazz, the Clippers, and the Thunder. They probably beat the Thunder.
That's five wins
down the stretch.
And I believe in the Mavs because obviously I told you guys before they even traded for Westbrook when they still had Chris Paul that in 2 years the Mavs would be a better team than the Rockets, and everybody just crapped all over me. I'm like, look, just wait. That's Luka. That's Porzingis. That's guys that when we talk about role players. And the other thing that really kind of ticked me off last night was Gordon, as you mentioned, he had 20. Gordon got going early, and they didn't get him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the shots that he had to get his 20 were from 35 feet out. And I just, that's the thing that aggravates me the most. Because as a team and as the two best players, they got to know you need Eric Gordon if you're going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get him going, he's a streak shooter. If you get him going, he can go all night. If he gets, he's another one of those guys that plays mind games with himself. If he gets off to a slow start or he's not getting the ball, he'll pout and disappear. You can't afford to have those things happen, and you can't lose those games at home.
So, question, hypothetical: if Barry's hypothetical actually happens,
yes,
justifiable firing of Mike D'Antoni,
I believe
correct?
So.
Yes.
Can't. I believe so.
Again, because
if you're the seventh seed in the West with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, two MVPs on your team, and you're barely hanging on in front of the Memphis Grizzlies.
But let me just say
he could be gone.
Justifiable, you said. The only thing that I would say is what's unfair about this is he justified a new contract by setting the franchise record for wins 2 years ago and getting him as far as he did with all the dysfunction and the injuries last year. He should have had an extension. So from that standpoint, he was done wrong, and it wasn't just that he didn't get an extension.
Right.
But to say that if they're the seventh seed at that point in the season, is it justified to get rid of him? Absolutely.
Make no mistake, Mike D'Antoni hasn't forgotten how to coach. He has a problem with players right now. His players are selfish. His players don't want to run the offense that D'Antoni would like to run. D'Antoni would love to go back to a Steve Nash style of Phoenix Suns offense where you come down, you find an open three, and you shoot it. It's not isolation ball with 5 seconds left on a shot clock is when you shoot it. That is not Mike D'Antoni's offense. He's trying to play to the strength of what he has and placate James Harden because we all know it's James Harden's team. I don't blame Mike D'Antoni. He's going to be the scapegoat, like Joel said. But Mike D'Antoni hasn't forgotten how to coach.
Take it a step further, Barry. Mike D'Antoni's not a guy, and Nick, you know this because you're there every night. Take it a step further. Mike D'Antoni doesn't like to criticize any of his players. Mm-mm. He won't say a word about any of his players. The fact that he's calling players out for being worried more about the name on the back of the jersey than the front, that's as close as you're going to get to him actually pointing a finger directly at his players.
And saying, you guys are selfish.
Yep.
That's essentially what he did.
I think it also means it's a high-pressure situation for him. I mean, he probably knows that his days could be numbered or is numbered. You don't know what he's thinking, too. You don't know the pressure that he's feeling, especially not getting that extension. I will say, it's hard for... Is it completely unfair by Tillman for Tita? I mean, I feel like it would be more unfair had Les Alexander not given him the extension. But with Tillman for Tita being a new owner, isn't it hard for him to say, you know what, let me just go ahead and extend you another 5 years and pay him all this money?
Don't extend him for five, but at least...
Give him something.
Reward him for what he's done.
I think Mac got screwed for sure for not getting the extension, by the way.
And here's the thing. When you say he's under pressure, he is, because he entered this situation when he took this job and thought it was going to be his last. But he knows that he has no contract next year, and he probably should have. So for the betterment of his family, his career, everything, he's feeling a ton of pressure because he knows this is a put up or shut up year. And if it's a shut up, he may never get another gig. And the one other thing I will add to this, which is why he isn't gone already, is because in the past, if it was anybody else, Harden, because of the system and the fact that they didn't give him the ball enough, they didn't focus on him enough in his mind, he would have crapped all over the coaches. Mm-hmm. But because Mike has been so good for James' mm-hmm. career by just giving him the ball, mm-hmm. he won't completely crap on him.
I would agree with that.
So we'll continue.
Hey, we got more Astros drama we need to... Yesterday we broke the news that Carlos Beltran's niece came out and said that he was going to lose his job.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, 24 hours later, Carlos Beltran is no longer the manager of the Mets.
Right.
Got some new news, and it's not good for Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman from the same source.
Really?
And regarding Beltran and the Astros.
So we'll get to that.
Yep.
We've got a lot more to get to. We got Rockets talk that we're just wrapping up. If James can hang in there, we'll try and get him on before we get to that. But we got plenty more, obviously, to get to. Lots of meat left on the bone. So come on in, won't you? 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show. It is The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in Houston on this Thursday. As everybody is sorting out everything, as the cheating scandal that won't go away continues to have things that pop up. We were talking Rockets early in the show because of a loss last night. They've lost 3 of 4. They're not playing good basketball. We're breaking it down for you. As part of that, James is he's held patiently. He wants to get in here on the Rockets. James, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Sorry, let me walk outside. I'm at a funeral. It's real dead in here. But anyways, I was calling about the Rockets, and everybody's saying about Harden and all that. Would it be a bombshell to, like, maybe look at going away from Harden, you know, finding somebody who can all play together, free up some of that money, and just go that route? And instead of always blaming it on the coach, I mean, see what we can get, you know? Or is that, like, me being against everybody and saying Harden's the almighty because he can score?
Yeah, appreciate the call, James. I don't think they're going away from James Harden. You don't go away from one of, if not the best scorer on the planet. You try to sit him down. You try to find someone that can work with him and get him to understand. But
that would be such a statement move by Tillman for Tillman.
They're not trading or getting rid of James Harden. Unless it netted a superstar of equal caliber.
No, I think if anybody goes, it's Russ.
Like, well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, what if? Right? Like, what if everyone takes an honest assessment and says, runs this team. Like, whatever James wants, James gets, because he's the superstar. He's got his own guys in. He's done this. He's done that. And it's not working. And we're tired of it because we're tired, of him acting like he owns this team and runs it. So, you know what? Let's go out and trade him for
somebody, right? Whoever might
have to be
up
like
to
a Dame or a Kawhi or something.
Exactly.
I don't see how that's going to happen.
Acting
or,
like.
Or a Ja.
Acting like.
What if they go out and get a young Ja Morant?
But you got to make the money work.
But I'm
that's
just saying,
the thing. There's
right?
so many different factors. He's making so much money. His kicker kicked in. His new extension kicked in. He's making like a ton of money.
But they're not just doing it for draft. It's going to
they're
have
not,
to be for,
right.
like you said, a Kawhi. Like the Kawhi DeMar DeRozan trade. It's going
to
be
just
one of those.
I'm trying to say it has to be someone of his caliber. And those are the names that...
Right,
comes
and that's probably
mind.
The most recent trade of two superstars. It would have to be that. They're not doing that, though. Rockets are not doing that.
But you say something, too, because I just wanted to take one word out of what you said.
Okay.
People don't act like it's his team and it's his franchise. It is. I mean, and I've told you guys this. From a business perspective, from a general manager's perspective, from a basketball perspective, James Harden is and has the keys to this franchise. Mm-hmm. His people do, like you said, who he wants in comes in. You know, who he wants to stay stays, and who he wants to go. Just look at Dwight Howard. Just look at Chris Paul. Just look at bringing in Russ. So I think, honestly, the rumors that were early in the season about Daryl Morey shopping Russell Westbrook to the Knicks and trying to see who's out there with what. Look, I think that would piss James off because it really truly is one of his best friends. But I think of the two, if you're trying to put that narrative out there, I don't think there's anybody that goes. James Harden doesn't go. Mm-mm. Anybody else could go.
Yeah,
like Eric Gordon is your most marketable resource. But again, just like you said,
but you're not trading him to start over.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
you can't. You're
Which
too far
I think
into this.
He was saying.
And the thing is you've proven that you could. He can win. Harden wins no matter what in the regular season, no matter who you put next to him.
Yeah.
It's just they're not going to win at all with him and the way they play ball right now.
Right. I would agree. All right, let's get to this other bomb that has now dropped with the Astros, and you got to take this with a grain of salt because there's so many different layers to this. All right, but yesterday we talked about the niece, as we understood it to be, the niece of Carlos Beltran came out and said that Carlos Beltran was going to be fired from the Mets, and that hadn't even broke yet anywhere. She just said it. It got a little run, and sure thing, within 24 hours, Carlos Beltran no longer the manager of the Mets. Well, she's tweeted some more tweets. And this is what she said. Now let me do all this because, like I said, there are several layers to this. So first, I'm going to read you what she tweeted. She said, "I'm told to stay quiet, but I refuse. Sorry, T.O. with a little heart emoji. Jose Altuve and Bregman wore devices that buzzed on inside right shoulder from hallway video guy. Let's get it out now." Then she said, "I have pictures from locker I will keep for a rainy day. Altuve didn't want his shirt torn off. I remember. Maybe I misspoke, but Chapman gave up home run in game." And if you'll recall, in that game when Jose Altuve took Aroldis Chapman deep, as he rounded third, he was motioning to his guys, "Don't tear my shirt off." Post game, he said, "Yeah, my wife didn't like that. My wife didn't like my shirt being torn off with nothing on underneath it. So that's why I asked him not to tear my shirt off." So that looks really suspicious. Now, I want to make one point about the Aroldis Chapman thing. He even said that he was expecting a fastball and got a breaking ball and hit it deep. And you could clearly see that that was the case. Mm-hmm. So whether the buzzer was working or not, I feel like he was maybe fooled on the pitch, but still got a hold of it and took him deep. But that's just my recollection of that particular play. Now, John Boy took those tweets, the one that was notoriously breaking down the trash can banging, and said, "Beltran's niece tweeting about the buzzers, which matches up with what I've been told from about 5 different parties." All right, so there's another layer. Now, John Boy is saying that he's had people come forward and tell him about it. Let's take it a step further now, because Marley Rivera, who works for ESPN, she's national baseball writer and a reporter for ESPN, has come forward with a tweet that says, "The Beltran family told me that this individual who claims to be Carlos's niece is not related to the family in any way. This person may or may not have additional information about the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal, but they are not related to the Beltrans." So at first you look at that and go, ah, okay, so she's lying. Well, she was right about Beltran and the Mets. They've said she's been right about things in the past when it comes to baseball and leaking information when it comes to Carlos Beltran or how he's related. The fact that she's not his niece is one thing. I think that's Beltran saying, look, she's saying some stuff that's probably going to
ruffle.
He doesn't want his name attached to it. Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
It wasn't decided.
It doesn't mean she's not right.
That he was leaving until this morning. So he probably also was going, look, let me steer clear of this right now because I got a big issue I'm still dealing with.
Yep.
And let's not forget, people. And we're not trying to blow our own horn here, but we try to do you guys a service. But think about what Barry and I brought to the table just a few days ago when we said, when all this was breaking, and we said the two guys are near and dear to your heart. One who is hated by the rest of baseball and Alex Bregman, and one that I said is going to crush you if it's true. But go back and look at the video of the guys that were always telling the teammates about the signals and talking about tipping pitches. It was Jose Altuve.
And Alex Bregman.
I know that this situation has been bad. But I also know that the only thing that could make it worse is if Jose Altuve is roped into this.
Now, I saw a tweet by your boy, Barry Patrick Creighton, that said, A, fake account. B, Manfred already debunked the whole buzzer conspiracy theory. Okay. Do we know if that's true?
Did he debunk it or did he clear all the players?
That's what I want
to
know.
Yeah, I don't know that to be true. But if it is a fake account, how did that fake account predict Carlos Beltran being fired 24 hours before it happened?
I just want to know if that's true.
And somebody said she's been right on other things. I don't follow her tweets are protected, so I don't follow them. But all you can go off of is so far it was brought to our attention yesterday who she was, and it was brought to our attention one tweet. So far, she's been 100% right on what she's leaked, and that's all I'm going to go off of.
I want to say Granato and Lance, probably in the last year, brought this woman's account up in the past, stating the same thing that you just said. She has inside information somehow, some way, and it wasn't about the cheating scandal, but there were things that were popping up that she was breaking that people were like, you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. Who the hell are you? And then they started coming true.
Mm-hmm.
So whether she is a relation or whether she's had relations or knows people, you don't know. But she's not speaking lies in the past if you look at what she said.
Yeah, I went to her account yesterday. And again, this is all speculation on our part. But I went to her account and her part. I went to her account yesterday. It says she is a UT grad student. And it says, no autograph, simple girl in a difficult city, Texas Longhorn alum, struggling med student, my favorite uncle at Carlos Beltran 15. That's all it has, and it's got two pictures over, and she's cute. So I tend to believe her.
With Carlos
Beltran? To believe her because she's hot. If she was ugly, I wouldn't believe her.
That works on me too,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, if you're ugly, you're probably lying.
You're lying.
You're a liar.
Lying through
ugly
your
people
lie.
If you're ugly, lie. You're thirsty.
Yeah.
And if you're hot, you're genuine.
You're just telling, yeah. Ugly right. People lie, hot people don't lie.
That's why Joel's an absolute fabricator. I'm just playing, man.
Joel's the biggest liar you know. But yeah, she's shooting shots. Now we'll find out. I do think I just find it fascinating. I'm not saying whether it's true or not. I'm not saying whether I believe her or not. I'm telling you that she was right yesterday, and that it is interesting that Altuve didn't want his shirt torn off. John Boy says he's heard five different occasions that there has been some sort of buzzer thing. And remember what I said last week? Stop doing your lips like that. It's over. We were just joking. Remember what I said last week? That somebody said there's going to be more cheating allegations come out, and it's going to be so crazy and so outlandish that you won't believe it? Who would believe that a major leaguer would have a buzzer taped to his shoulder?
That's embarrassing.
It's a lot of stuff going on, man.
That's absolutely embarrassing.
A lot of stuff going on.
Look.
Yeah, there is.
You're a fabricator. Patrick Creighton, pathological liar, okay?
Here's the other thing. When that first story of the buzzers first broke out, it was in the shoe. So everybody's like, there's no
right,
way.
Right.
The fact that they didn't get the part where the buzzer
I've heard
was.
Bat handle.
Yeah.
I've heard shoe, now shoulder. The fact of the matter is there's one common theme. There's a buzzer involved.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter where it was. Nick, you normally have one somewhere in an orifice. But regardless, there was a buzzer involved, and it's cheating.
Yeah.
Dude, if they're going to this extent to cheat, next year, there's going to be chips in their shoes that buzz. There's going to be all kinds of fancy technology that no one knows about.
You know, if they ever go jersey sponsors.
If this is true.
Players have to go through, like, a security.
Somebody asked if this is true. Is Jose Altuve not in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, he's banned from baseball, probably, if this is true. Forget the Hall of Fame. He probably will never play again. If he's using electronic buzzers on his shoulder
You don't think it's like a heavy suspension?
A-Rod didn't get banned from baseball. Barry Bonds didn't get banned from baseball. They cheated.
I think a heavy ban would be crazy, man. But I think a heavy suspension, like a heavy.
Maybe
suspension.
Maybe not a ban, I guess. Who, but
if Major League
is he
Baseball,
in the Hall of Fame? Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Maybe not, but he's still going to be considered because up until the scandal, he still had huge numbers.
Yeah, but how long has he been cheating?
We don't know.
No,
but
my the whole thing about all that, the most interesting thing to me, the is that she says she has pictures. That is the now, TMZ on line one. We have $1 million. We'll give you $1 million if you send us those pictures.
I'll tell you what. If I'm Rob
Guarantee
Manfred,
you she's getting all kind
if
of money.
If I'm Rob Manfred, I'm on line two going, I'll give you $1.5 million, but you better make sure that I got all the negatives and it never gets out because I got to save my sport.
Yeah. But could
and
you
by
imagine?
The way, if Major League Baseball ever gets a jersey sponsor, are the Astros getting Apple or are they getting like LG or some kind of electronics company to show what they can do with electronics?
I wonder if they if it would be like a Little Rabbit sponsor. I don't even know what that is, dude.
Hour okay. One Google in the it. Books. Hour two right around the corner. Usual Suspects, Eastman 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.